Public News Service Wednesday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. The Department of Education announced today it was firing more than 1,300 workers, effectively gutting the agency that manages federal loans for colleges, tracks student achievement, and enforces civil rights laws in schools. That for the New York Times. They report the layoffs mean that the department, which started the year with just over 4,000 employees, will now have a workforce of about half that size, that after less than 2 months of President Trump in office. The Times notes the cuts could portend an additional move by Trump to essentially dismantle the department, as he said he wants to do, even though it cannot be closed without the approval of Congress. And backers of legislation in Nevada say it would bring more balance to landlord-tenant relationships and ensure that rental homes are safe to live in.
Assemblymember Venetia Considine says for far too long, some Nevada renters have put up with unacceptable living conditions, from black mold to infestations and other issues that can go months without repair. She says Assembly Bill 223 is about strengthening tenant rights by giving them certain tools, like a process to file official complaints and the ability to exit leases at no cost if landlords drag their feet.
A verified complaint would give tenants the ability, if they've gone through the habitability issue, the 2 weeks time frame, the lack of anything being fixed that is promised in a lease to be there that they are paying for, that they have a way to access the court without putting themselves in jeopardy of eviction.
Considine says there were thousands of statewide evictions in Nevada last year, but it's unknown how many were due to habitability issues because the current system doesn't track that information. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
Next up, Oregon conservation groups are headed to the state capitol for Wildlife Lobby Day.
Srishti Kamal of the Western Environmental Law Center highlights the 1% for Wildlife bill, which would raise the state transient lodging tax by 1% up to 2.5%. Funds would help the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife implement the state wildlife action plan to protect imperiled species and habitats. Kamal says the plan currently has no funding from the state.
Even though we have a Democratic majority in our legislature this session, unfortunately, wildlife falls at the bottom of everyone's priority list.
One bill would help landowners use non-lethal tools to share land with beavers. I'm Isabel Charlet.
Meantime, an improvisational street dancer from small town Iowa is using his art form to interpret his world and express his identity, including defiance, rebellion, and even frustration with other artists. Chewy Renteria started breakdancing when he was 14 in West Liberty, Iowa, now nearly 40, and a father and a husband. He draws on what he learned.
Growing up in West Liberty, I felt too Mexican for the white people and too white for the Mexican people. It transcended all of that, right? Because you dance and then you found other people who also dance and it didn't matter.
Renteria says his latest expression called fight dancing allows artists to have the equivalent of a heated exchange on the dance floor rather than taking the anger into the street. This is Public News Service. Next to Montana, where the governor's proposed budget includes cuts to funding for senior long-term care.
Within the last 3 years, 11 of Montana's nursing homes closed in a single 12-month period. That adds pressure to those providers left, like Big Sky Senior Services in Billings, which provides payee services for over 100 people and offers in-home care for seniors on a sliding fee scale. Executive Director Tyler Anmanson says keeping seniors in their homes as long as possible is the goal, but there's usually a point where outside care becomes necessary.
And then they're in crisis because we don't have enough places to send them, or the places that are available to send them aren't getting funded well, and so the quality of care is going down.
Amundson adds that reimbursement rates are not keeping up with the rise of inflation. Governor Greg Gianforte has proposed $50 million in cuts over the next biennium to senior and long-term care services via the Department of Public Health and Human Services. That's nearly 6%. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
Next to North Dakota, where the Senate's turned to ramp up debate on property tax reform, a key issue of the session.
Several bills to establish property tax relief have already cleared the North Dakota House. Yesterday, a Senate committee took up certain proposals. All the measures have different language, but a consistent provision calls for an annual 3% cap on property tax hikes sought by local governments. Perel Grossman with the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association told lawmakers he hopes the final package will include agricultural properties.
Some of these landowners might certainly have significant land, and others just might be facing huge debt because of their machinery, livestock costs.
Advocates also acknowledge the need for balance so that small and large communities aren't hamstrung in maintaining key infrastructure. Some rural municipal leaders worry about proposed caps limiting their ability to raise enough revenue, harming vital services. I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, Indiana lawmakers paused action this week on a bill which aims to prevent crashes caused by dangerously overgrown rural intersections.
The bill originated after 17-year-old Riley Settergren died in a 2017 collision at a Hancock County intersection. His father, Jay Settergren, testified Monday before lawmakers, urging stronger rules to prevent similar tragedies.
Just days before his senior year, Riley was taken from us by a piece of farm machinery that could not see at an intersection because it was obstructed by corn. They had to move out further into the road. The truck Riley was a passenger in was struck. Riley was killed instantly.
The current proposal would mandate property owners or renters near rural intersections clear all vegetation or obstacles above 3 feet, ensuring drivers can see approaching traffic. I'm Joe O'Leary, Public News Service.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here's our radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our content and trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.